Okay, it's already been over 3 weeks since the previous episode, so we return with an extra episode before we release the fifth episode of the third season. So welcome to What Do You Mean God Speaks? This is the first extra episode of the third season, where we are headed and what we've been doing. Now, one of the difficulties that I've had, and there are many, when writing this series is what to include and what to leave out in each episode. There are things that I want to touch on, but they just don't fit with the flow of that episode. Some of these are specific issues or topics or details that I just couldn't cover in that particular episode, while others are more of a meta question, which is not quite about what the episode is exploring, but more about how this series is approaching or framing these topics. And these things accumulate as I write more and more episodes, and at some point, I sort of bunch them together and do an extra episode like this. Well, in this case, there are a couple of other things that I wanted to go over since something like the second episode of the season, but I just couldn't find a place to fit them. So I was trying to do that while I was writing the fifth episode, but in the end, I gave up and decided to put them separately here in this episode. There is, of course, another reason for this episode. So this is now a semi-monthly updated series, at least that's what it says according to podcast platforms, which means that there are 2 episodes per month. But as some of you likely noticed, the actual rate has been slower than that from this third season. Now, there are various reasons for that, including some stuff that came up in the recent months that have been taking up additional time. But there are also issues related to this particular season, which I'll be getting into later. Either way, I'm still trying to return to that 2-episode-per-month schedule, and the first step to that is slotting in this extra episode this month while I finish writing up the next main episode to go live a week from now at the end of this month. Then eventually, when the other reasons for the delays are resolved sometime in the future, I am hoping to go back to the 10-day cycle of the first season. Here's hoping. Now, as I mentioned before, there are things that I've really wanted to go over since the second episode of this season, and I want to get that out of the way before moving on with the account of Abraham and Sarah in Genesis, for the next episode. First of that is where this series is currently headed, though it's more of a reminder, really, I suppose. Back in the first season, in an extra episode very much like this one, I said that this series is trying to address a number of long-standing misconceptions or misunderstandings about some key ideas or beliefs specifically in Christianity and in general religious viewpoints. Now, people today usually misunderstand what Christianity says about God, life, morality, and so on. But I've also added that these misunderstandings are often about what I call the framing issue. So what's a frame issue? Well, the example that I gave back then was that what it would be like if we were to read Hamlet thinking that it was a romantic comedy. In fact, what if we didn't even have the idea of tragedy as a literary term? Well, in that case, the frame with which we understand Hamlet is fundamentally flawed, so that we get upset about how Hamlet doesn't get together with Ophelia and how everyone just dies at the end, and then we'll angrily review bomb the whole work on the internet. Now, does that sound like a stupid thing to do? Well, my point is that those of us today are more or less in a similar situation when we are dealing with questions about Christianity. And that's the key reason for the first season. The first season is all about what many of the seemingly simple statements or even words mean. What we mean by God, or what we mean by God created all things, or God speaks, or God judges sin, or that the Bible is the word of God, and so on. And hence the title of the series, What Do You Mean God Speaks? These are statements that frame the entire Christian worldview, but most of us today don't quite understand what these mean. Worse, we don't understand, but we think we do. That's because most of us have at least a partial fragmentary knowledge of these things. Things you heard from growing up in churches, or stuff that you picked up on TV or movies or games or novels or on the internet. For good or bad, Christianity has had a significant influence on the world, and bits and pieces of what it's about sort of hangs about in our public space like moots in the air. And that's a problem, because these fragments make up our knowledge of Christianity, and I say religion in general too, which are not entirely wrong, but just off. And they're off in seemingly small but very critical ways. So what's wrong with that? Why is it so critical? Well, that brings us to the larger goal of this series. So, as you heard in the intro of each episode, this series, quote-unquote, explores key ideas, insights, and stories in Christianity for the skeptics who want to understand religion, Christians with questions about their own beliefs, and everyone in between. But to do that, addressing these misconceptions is a necessary first step. But first step means that there are other steps to follow. It means that what this series is trying to do is to take us through a journey. Now, I think many things that we do in life is like going on a journey. I mean, living itself is sort of like a journey. I say sort of because sometimes we just live without any destination in mind, though I suppose not all journeys have a destination. At the very least, though, things like trying to learn or understand things that matter to us is like a journey. That's true of any subject matter, really. We don't learn things instantaneously. It's a step-by-step process. So say in math, you learn about numbers and then simple arithmetic, then maybe geometry, algebra, then calculus, then the more advanced stuff. Even getting to know people is a step-by-step process. We need to get introduced, learn maybe the surface things about them, like their jobs or their hobbies or whatever, and then maybe we'll have opportunities to hear from them what really matters to them. Learning is a journey. What we learn today is based on what we learned yesterday, though of course, sometimes this may require correcting what we learned before. Still, it's step-by-step. And where we start matters. And where do we start in this series? That's where the words skeptics who want to understand religion, Christians with questions about their own beliefs, and everyone in between comes from. I think I mentioned this before, but these words describe me. It describes me at different points in my life, and even now it describes different parts of me, how I think about the questions that we are dealing with in this series. And I think it describes many of us today in modern and comparatively secular societies where it seems the overwhelming majority of people listening to this series is living in countries like Canada, the US, the UK, Australia, South Africa, New Zealand, Denmark and Germany as well, it seems, and recently Indonesia and Nepal and some others. Religious beliefs that humanity has held or have taken for granted are, well, no longer taken for granted, or at least is questioned more significantly even by those who hold religious beliefs. Beliefs like that there's a God, or that the world was created or formed by some deity, or that what is written in religious texts like the Bible is unquestionably true, or that religious teaching should guide our lives and practice, or that there even is such a thing as sin or judgment or even morality. We no longer simply accept these claims. Many of us outright disbelieve it. Or as this series has been pointing out, most of us don't even really understand what any of that really means, even while we think we do. Again, remember that this series is trying to take us through a journey. The first season is simply resetting the frame. Remember, I said that the misunderstanding is often about the frame issues. So, we revisit the vocabulary and ideas that equip us for the journey, things that will enable us to understand what we will come across in our journey. So, what's the journey? Well, simply put, to encounter God. Or more mundanely, to understand religious views like Christianity and the world it envisions. Now, here's why those misunderstandings that are not entirely wrong, but just off, can become such a critical problem. So, if what we are doing is to set out on a journey, And if the starting equipment that will guide you through the journey is slightly off, so say your compass is off so that its north arrow is actually pointing to, say, slightly northwest, then what would happen if you were to journey toward the east coast from the west coast? I mean, well, your first steps won't really affect you that much, but eventually you will find yourself in the Arctic instead of, say, New York, surrounded by very hungry polar bears. And by the way, they're hungry because we just melted the polar ice caps where they hunt from. So hurrah for humanity, eh? But that's another issue. Anyway, that's why much of this series is about, well, realigning some key basic ideas and vocabulary. So for example, the very first episode of this series pointed out that relating to God is relating to reality as a whole rather than to some specific entity that you invoke only when you have religious experience or when science fails us or whatever. Or later in the season, I said, every truth is God speaking, and not only the words that you read in the Bible or things you hear in churches and so on. We needed to correct our frame, because otherwise, whenever this series is describing how people encounter God or hear God speak, we will misunderstand what's happening at a fundamental level. But after that correction, the journey is still about, well, actually going on the journey. This series is trying to describe or imagine a journey that begins from the point that most of us now find ourselves in a point where we don't believe or at least greatly question religious views like Christianity. So from here, this series is following a journey which step by step will lead us eventually to understand what it would have been like for people to encounter and then form a lasting relationship with God. Or more specifically, it's describing a journey that leads us to what happened when the first Christians encountered this person named Jesus. And that's where we are. The first season examined the ideas and vocabulary that will equip us for this journey, and the second season explored the primeval narratives of Genesis, which places us in the wider world where the journey will begin for us. And we need to revisit and recalibrate, so to speak, these larger ideas and framework or tools for navigating our journey so that we don't go off and get surrounded by hungry polar bears. What we mean by God, what we mean by God creating all things, what we mean by sin and judgment, what we mean by the Bible being the Word of God, what we mean by saying God speaks, what it means to perceive God, what Genesis account of creation, the fall, flood, and Babel is really describing, and so on and so forth. So with all of that said, the third season began the journey. The first season is a setup, the second season is a setting, and the third season we set out. And the thing is, even I don't completely know how the journey will go. I mean, I obviously know the general contours and the direction of the journey, but there are questions that I'm still wrestling with, and which particular steps will lead to where and how to take those steps, well, that's something that we'll have to find out later. I suppose that's part of the reason why the episodes in this season have been taking longer to write, other than the other time sinks in the past months, that is. Much of the first two seasons was in my proper domain, so to speak, because if you remember, my area is in philosophical theology, or philosophy of religion, whichever term you prefer, along with related questions like science and religion, reason and faith, worldviews, and those kind of topics. These frame issues are what I study and teach and write about, and these were central to the issues that we explored in the first two seasons. And they still are, for all the other seasons too. But now there is the aspect of trying to retrace personal and spiritual journey of a people that span over thousands of years and recount it in the entirety of the Bible. And that requires more than what I've been doing so far in this series. There's also the point that biblical scholarship is not quite my area. I think I sort of compared it before as the difference between, say, economics and business administration. They're related, but different. So to sum it all up, there are more balls in the air, so to speak, or more things that I need to keep in mind while I take each step forward. But I do hope that the journey, as slow as it is, will be worth it. What all this means, though, is that it poses a particular set of challenges that each episode needs to address. Because this is a journey, how each episode starts is based on the prior episode. But let's be honest, many of you probably skipped some episodes at least, and if you haven't, you likely didn't understand some of the previous episodes, and even if you did, you probably don't remember all of them. Heck, even I don't remember what I cover sometimes and have to reread what I wrote. And that means that when I write out the later episodes, I sort of have to review people of what we cover so far, or at least remind them where to review these things. And doing that in each episode takes time, and that is also why the first season episodes were comparatively shorter than the later ones. But obviously, I can't just babble on about what we explored in the previous episodes. I need the episode to take a new step, all the while carrying everything that we've done so far. There are additional challenges, though. So again, a huge portion of what this series has been trying to do is to reword and rethink and reframe the key ideas or even vocabulary, which will hopefully correct some long-standing misunderstanding about those very ideas. But what that means is that in the later seasons, I need to be very careful in my wording so that we don't fall back on that same misunderstanding. And that's because these misconceptions or even caricatures are the default go-to of how we understand what Christianity is presenting us. That's why it's so prevalent and persistent. We tend to fall back to it without thinking. So I need to word things so that we don't. So, did you ever notice that I tend to repeat certain phrases or words every episode? Well, here's an example. All of reality is God speaking, or everything that happens in nature or history is what God is speaking forth. And these are there to keep in place in your mind a certain way of thinking about God and perceiving the world, which is needed to understand what Christianity and really theistic worldviews in general means by God and reality and so on. The first episode of this third season, What Do You Mean There's No God, is part of this project too, to reinforce certain ideas that we really need to follow the journey that we'll take from the third season onward, so that we don't misunderstand what is going on. And yes, there are several other things that I word in a specific way for similar reasons. Now, whether this is working remains to be seen. The other challenge is, of course, the continuity of each episode. So this series is actually something like the first draft of a book that I'm writing. I say something like because a podcast series is very different from a book. Hearing the content in episodic manner over a long period of time is very, very different from reading a book more or less at your own pace. It doesn't help that each episode for this series goes live at a snail's pace, at least recently. Anyway, hearing something is different from reading it. Believe it or not, when I describe some difficult ideas or issues, I try to keep the wording simpler because it's much harder to catch the words when you're hearing than when you read it, or at least that's what I find. Anyway, the plan is that the first three seasons, so What Do You Mean God Speaks, and Genesis, and Those Who Wrestle With God, these three seasons, will be put together into a single and fairly hefty-sized volume. Assuming that I can find a publisher, that is. My previous publication was a set of long and challenging hurdles of reviews to overcome and wait, so may God help me. But anyway, with the book, it's easier, comparatively speaking, to keep the different parts to be continuous with each other. But with a podcast series, I have to somehow, in each episode, do a callback, so to speak, to the previous episodes to remind people of what we covered. By the way, this is why, very likely, the book that I will write will have a different structure and order than this specific series. Now, even though they're about the same thing and have much of the same content. Of course, the book will have some new content, but the big difference is that I would have had more time to think about what I've covered so far and clarify what I said. I mean, again, what you're hearing in each of these episodes in this podcast is the first draft. Well, not quite, because the greater portion of the time that I spend writing each episode is from revising and rewriting things. So it's more like the third draft or something. But You know what I mean. There's a very set amount of time that I have before I have to record the thing and put it out there. Yes, even for a series like this with such a loose release timing. But when you have months or even a year since writing the draft, you have time for a newer and wider perspective. You can say things differently and perhaps with more interesting example or metaphor or analogies. And hopefully these will be more clear and more thorough. You can consider the topics from different angles and more angles. You can catch things that you haven't before or come up with new insights. And all of those will then go into the book. In the podcast, though, how this plays out is that I will often bring up questions or topics that I've covered in some previous episode or even episodes in previous seasons. And when they're relevant, I will bring it up and I will say these things differently or present some new thoughts on the matter. Well, here's one example. In the second season, I said that I was still trying to figure out what it means for individuals in earlier chapters in Genesis to live for centuries. I couldn't quite figure out what that means other than, well, the literal meaning. And I was wondering, is there something more to it? Well, sometime later, I observed that we, even today, tend to represent entire eras with individuals whenever we think about a time that's long before our generation. So in the case of, say, the past U.S. presidents, people like Biden or Trump are individuals to us, but people like, say, Roosevelt or Lincoln or Washington, they're not just individuals, but they also represent an entire historical era, at least of American history. Then I brought this thing up way later during the third season, where we linked Noah's generation to Abraham and we talked about the lifespan in that genealogy. So in a sense, when you're listening to this series, you're listening to how my thoughts are unfolding in real time, more or less. Whereas in a book, you get a more finished package, so to speak. So, okay, I didn't mean to talk about the book this long. Why was I talking about the book? Oh, yeah, the challenges of writing each episode. So, there's another challenge, which is who I'm writing for, and that brings up how I approach the more contested questions in this series. So, skeptics who want to understand religion and Christians with questions about their own beliefs and everyone in between covers a fairly large range of people. But what does that mean when I write out each episode? Well, one thing is this. I'm not sure whether people notice, but I try to keep this series fairly non-polemical. So what do I mean by that? Well, I usually don't spend a lot of time going over why this or that view is wrong. Now, yes, I indeed point out some misunderstandings or misconceptions about significant beliefs or statements in Christianity and say why those are misunderstandings and so on. But what I mean is that whenever we come across topics that have, well, let's say, well-drawn battle lines from different sides, I tend to not take clear sides or at least spend much time putting one side or the other down. Now, I do take specific positions on different issues, obviously. I mean, how can you not? But any position that this series argue for will rarely draw from something beyond the scholarly or scientific consensus on any given issue. So in the second season, the things that I bring up about the ancient Hebrew understanding of the world, or how, say, the book of Genesis was written, or what the current scientific understanding of the universe is, are stuff that are widely accepted by those working in that field. You can contrast this to, say, how I brought up the question of the multiverse or the fine-tuning of the cosmos. These have been issues of genuine contention. So, is the universe fine-tuned for complex matter and life and so on? And, well, okay, that part is, well, there's little question about that, but what is in contention is, does that mean that there must be some creator that fine-tuned the cosmos? Or does that mean that there is multiverse? Or does that mean that there's some deeper underlying laws of physics that we don't know? And that's up for debate, at least philosophically speaking. And if you remember, this series described this debate briefly, because it is a genuine, respectable debate, but you may also remember that I didn't take any sides. I was rather ambivalent about the entire thing. Now, it was the same thing when I mentioned the debate between the different groups of biblical historians this third season. The debate between the maximalist and the minimalist views about the historicity of the Genesis account of Abraham's family. Well, if you have to pick a side, scholarly consensus does lean toward the minimalist, but it's still a live debate, and most of the people are sort of not quite in either side. But anyway, I didn't take side there either. Now, I do take time to state what the current consensus is, generally speaking, but what this series does, what this series points out is the more fundamental frame issues. Yes, there is that frame question again. So, again, with the example about the question about the historicity in Genesis, this series instead asks what Christians mean when they want to say that Abraham's family are historical. Now, I do not merely ask whether Genesis is presenting history as we mean today, what historians mean today. Other biblical scholars ask that too. What this series is pushing for is something deeper, I hope. So what I ask is, in what ways is the historicity important for the Christian faith, and in what ways it isn't? I ask, is the kind of historicity that historians are demanding of the Genesis account of Abraham's family the same kind of historical that Christians are concerned with when they're reading about Abraham's family? And if you remember, I suggested that they are not quite the same thing. But then what do they mean? So it's again a frame question. It's a deeper question, really, than the minimalist-maximalist debate about whether the specific account in Genesis is a straightforward description of what happened in history. But it's also a question that I hope has a greater ramification in how people are impacted by these stories of the lives of these people, Abraham, Sarah, and their children. That their lives become real to us, relatable, believable, living, breathing people. So, okay, let's go back to the example about the fine-tuning debate back in season 2. Again, I didn't take sides because the series already covered a more fundamental point, which framed the entire debate in a different way. And that happened way back in the first season where we explored what Christianity means by saying God created the cosmos, or all things come into being through the logos of God, or God speaking. And in that frame, from the Christian perspective, any of the positions in the debate can be true. So if the laws of nature that govern the universe are fine-tuned for life, that's the logos of God. That's what God is speaking. If there is some deeper fundamental laws of physics that explain why our universe seems fine-tuned, well, that's the logos of God. That's what God is speaking. And if the laws are such that they generate a multiverse, well, that's the logos of God. That's what God is speaking. By the way, that example just now raises another specific feature that marks this series. Did you notice that I sometimes pair certain phrases side by side as if they are the same thing? So in that example that we talked about just now, I linked the words laws of nature with the logos of God and with what God is speaking. And this is because if you remember way back in the first season, in the second episode, titled Why We Should Aim Higher Than Tolerance, I said that trying to present the thoughts or views of one worldview to those with a different worldview is very much like translating a very difficult language. Simplistic translations often mess things up and cause a huge misunderstanding. You need to keep in mind how words are used in different contexts and come up with something that is equivalent and appropriate. So now, those who listen to this episode may hold different worldviews. Some may be skeptic, some may be religious, some may be Christians. Even if you are a Christian, you likely live in a very secular society where the way that you think and perceive things are very, very different from the worldview in which Christian ideas and beliefs are properly understood. So I translate. To be specific, at some point in the series, I explain certain key ideas or beliefs or statements, hopefully in ways that make more sense to those of us living today. Then, whenever I refer back to those ideas or beliefs again, I will, in a sense, repeat the same idea, but with different words. And these different words are translations into words that are more familiar in different worldviews, say from Christianity to a more secular outlooks and such. So God speaking can be reality or everything that happens, or the laws of nature, or the logos of God, or judgment of God can be what God unfolds in response to our actions, or what our world becomes due to what we do, and so on. They are placed side by side to note the equivalence. But the way I approach these questions also implies something else. So this series is simply trying to articulate how we can understand the core beliefs of Christianity, and I suppose to some extent theistic religious beliefs. Remember what core beliefs are? We explore that in the fifth episode of the first season, which is the real Christianity. See why I said the first season is about equipping us with basic ideas and vocabulary? Anyway, one of the things that that episode points out is that Christian positions that we encounter are particular iteration or articulation of these core beliefs. Now, each can be articulated differently, and that is what this series is doing. We are still articulating the same core, but one way of understanding it can draw upon or integrate different things. So one that is being worked on in this series and presented to you in each episode is one that will try to take account of current consensus on scientific view of the world, or historical findings, or questions and objections from our modern worldview, and so on. Some other articulations may not be able to do so, but all of them are still trying to understand the same core. So why am I bringing this up? Well, this is the reason why this series don't quite dwell on the more popular, and I say more clickbaity and attention-drawing debates. So something like, is the universe 6,000 years old, or creationism or evolution, or is Genesis literally true about stuff like the global flood? Or for this season, is everything in the account of Abraham's life straightforward description of what exactly happened in history, literally, rather than, say, a retelling or even an adaptation of older stories that will draw upon deeply moving imagery and metaphor at appropriate times? So if you listen to this series, you know which position that this series generally takes. And that's because it is trying to take serious account of modern scientific and scholarly conclusions while trying to articulate these same core beliefs. But it does not join in on that flame war, so to speak, simply because the purpose of this series is about understanding the core. So let's say we were completely wrong on, say, our scientific findings and such. So we find, to our utter shock and surprise, that we were somehow mistaken and the universe actually is 6,000 years old, and a flood physically covered the whole planet one time. And if that's the case, well, nothing that this series was trying to grapple with and understand have really changed. Nothing that is core to what this series was trying to present about the Christian worldview or what people have thought about God and creation and such changed. And what I mean is, how the universe and all things came to be is still God speaking. It just happened to have come about in 6,000 years. Our world does unravel in response to what we make of the world, and that is what God brings about. It just happens that this unraveling came about in a literal physical flood that covered the entire world. God still speaks to Abraham, Sarah, and their children, and their lives are guided by that voice, and they come to learn step by step who is speaking to them as they journey on in their lives. That's still the same. It's just that how this long intergenerational process and journey happened was much more literally described, event by event, by Genesis, than this series had imagined. But the core is still the same. So in that sense, there isn't really anything significant at stake for this series to grapple with these positions. If they turn out to be wrong, which is the current consensus in the scientific and scholarly community, at least of now, that's still fine. This series is working out a different way of understanding and articulating Christianity. If they turn out to be true against all odds, that's fine too. Only thing that is not fine is how we deal with our differences. And I suppose that's yet another reason why this series don't spend a lot of time coming down on a side in any heated debate. The biggest reason, as I said, is that we are usually concerned with more fundamental frame issues and questions. But the other smaller but important reason is that all too often, these debates kind of devolve into pull down your opponents at all costs kind of thing, and I don't find that to be a very fruitful kind of thing to do. So, until then, this series will do what it has done so far, hopefully a little faster, and hopefully also later with a book version of this series, quite some time from now. And eventually, if there are people who can help out, YouTube version too, but that we'll have to see. In the meanwhile, please join me next time as we explore how Abraham and Sarai deal with their expanding relationship with God and how they, along with another character, Hagar, wrestle with what it means to receive and hold God's promise. And please support this series by following, subscribing, and sharing this series with others, and by rating it on your Apple Podcast platform. You can also support this series at buymeacoffee.com. The link for that is in the episode description. Maybe I should take some time to thank the people who actually did post reviews and support me on Buy Me a Coffee. I sort of debated whether to do this for a year now because I don't like to get call-outs like this, even if it's a positive one. But then I thought about it and realized that most people aren't quite like how I am. So quite a number of people rated this series, all 5 stars, so thank you very much. But most of them came from Canada, so if listeners from other countries can do so too, that would be wonderful. And there are 3 people that I know of so far that left a written review. They were all very positive reviews, so thank you very much. Specifically to Mark, Brian, and Jonathan. It's a long, long overdue thanks. And also, I wanted to thank Alex, Riley, Johnny, Kelvin, and Mark for your additional support, and for others who supported me, though didn't leave their names. So thank you. And then we'll finish this episode with the unedited, untouched version of the Season 3 theme music composed by Tenacious Orchestra, titled True Genesis, from premiumbeats.com.